A great way to get started. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I just want to read a passage from there before we go to a passage in Numbers that we're going to spend a lot of our time in today, or use it as our outline for today. It's good to see everybody today. Glad everyone could be with us, and those that are watching online, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have the first day of the week to come together and to worship God. We do have some guests with us in our audience today, and we're glad that you are able to be with us as well. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 at verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Verse 25, to whom then will you compare me, that I shall be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. He who created thee, or who created these, he who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because of his strong, or because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Here Isaiah is revealing to us just how great God is. God says, who can be compared to me? And I think it's good for us at times to get a fresh reminder and an understanding of exactly who God is. What is his character like? What do we know about God? Well, if you turn your Bible to Numbers chapter 6, there's a great blessing that God gives the children of Israel that I think reveals to us the great character of God. And there's several things that are mentioned in this text that I want to break down this morning as we just think about how great God is and who God is. And in times like this, I think we need some encouragement of just how great God is to us. In Numbers chapter 6 at verse 22, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel, and you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So this passage comes from the book of Numbers, and we're aware that the book of Numbers is about the wandering of the children of Israel. They're wandering in the wilderness, and it tells us about the trials that they face as they wander through the wilderness. It reveals to us the sins that they commit as they wander through the wilderness, journeying to the promised land. And I think this speaks to us today because we too are on a journey as well. We are going to another place. And we, just like the children of Israel, are going through trials in our life as well. We fall, we sin, we make mistakes. We all have threats against us every day. Of course, there's the normal trials and the hardships that we all face in life. And then there's the times that we're living in today. But we're well aware that our livelihood, our health, our marriages, our children, our future, there are trials that we can face in every area of our lives. And we need a reminder that we need help. We need a lot of help. And so God says here to Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, to tell the priest, I want you to give this blessing to my people, the Israelites, and I want you to repeat it to them over and over and over again. I want you to say it so many times to them that it is just ingrained in their minds. It'll burn deep into their hearts. I want them to know that this is how I feel about them. I think this blessing speaks to us today as well. What did God want the Israelites to know about him? And what does God want us to know about him as well in this great blessing? There's six things that I see here. First of all, we see that God loves to bless us. In verse 24, we see the Lord bless you. And I think this is so important because at times, some might have the idea that God is a little bit stingy and he holds his best blessings back. But of course, nothing could be further from the truth. God wants to bless us. And if I were to ask you the question, do you want to be blessed? I think you would answer that absolutely. We all do. We all want the blessing of God in our life. But what exactly does that mean? What does it mean for us to be blessed? Because I think that word has been a little bit hijacked by our culture today. And you'll hear people use the word blessed in all different scenarios and circumstances. And even those of the world who are not Christians might even use the word blessed. And they just are maybe into spirituality and they're not really into organized religion, they might say. But they might say, oh, well, I've been really blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? Maybe we even might use that term a little bit loosely as well for us to not really understand what it means. But what does it mean to be blessed? Well, we know that the Lord liked to bless people. We can see passages when Jesus was here on the earth. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it, Jesus says. And then he took the children up into his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Or at the end of his ministry, after his resurrection, and he's just before his ascension in Luke chapter 24, in verse 50, he leads them all the way out as far as Bethany, and he lifts up his hands and he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and he was carried up into heaven. And so we know that the Lord likes to bless his people. Remember Wednesday night in our study on what Jesus had to say about happiness. Remember the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5? As Jesus begins this great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, remember he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then at the end, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What exactly does that word blessed mean there? Well, the word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 6 is a Greek word. It's actually a word that was used as the name of an island in Cyprus. And because of this island and because of its geographical location, it had this great climate. There was this fertile soil. And the Greeks believed that anybody who lived on this island, well, they had it made. They felt that everything that a person needed in order to be happy, they could find right there on that island. You had it made in the shade living there in Cyprus. There was this self-contained happiness. And I think that's a good description of what Jesus is saying here to citizens of his kingdom. If we apply that to us, what we see is that God is offering to us a blessing. This true happiness that is independent from circumstances. Regardless of what is happening to you today, regardless of what it is that you are facing today, if you are a child of God, you are blessed. It could be that you came in here this morning and things are going pretty well. You're dealing with the challenges of a pandemic, but your health is good. Bills are paid. No troubles that you really see coming on the horizon. But then again, I'm well aware that there are people here today who are watching online right now who know what it's like to face some troubles right now. There's some trouble with your health, or troubles at home, or troubles with your financial situation, or trouble with family members. And you say, well, I'm not blessed. Now remember, if you are a child of God, you are blessed because this is this self-contained happiness. Regardless of what you are experiencing on the outside, God is blessing you. You might say, well, at times I feel like that God has put this curse on me, so to speak. Now the Bible does mention, we'll see here in Deuteronomy chapter 30 in just a moment, that we can be cursed. But when the Bible mentions this idea of being cursed, well, you can go to like Deuteronomy chapter 27. There's this list of things that the children of Israel would be cursed if they did these things, if they worshiped false idols, or if they committed immoral acts, they would be cursed. And the idea behind that is if you choose to live apart from my law, God says, well, you will be devoted to doom, or you will be devoted to destruction. And so maybe if you feel as if you've been doomed, maybe you're not making the right choices. You see, a person has a choice in life as to whether or not they are going to be a blessed person or a cursed person. This is what Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. You see, for those who have chosen life, who have decided to love God, to live for Him, to submit to Him, to cling to Him, to obey His voice, God says there's going to be blessing in your life. And so if you want to be blessed, you've got a choice to make. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. That's the second thing that we see, that God has promised to keep us. God wants us to be aware that He is continuously keeping us. And the idea is that He's continuously watching us, or He's continuously guarding us. He's looking over us, or He's put this hedge around us, or this fence around us. Anytime I mention the idea that God has put this hedge around us, you might automatically think about Job. Remember Job? Remember that story? That Satan shows up and God mentions to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Job is a servant of mine. He fears me and he avoids evil. But then Satan says, does Job fear you for nothing? Well, you've put this hedge around him. And basically, because you've kept him, because you've guarded and preserved him, well, that's why he lives for you. You've blessed the work of his hands. And that was true in one sense, that God had blessed Job and God had guarded and put this hedge and this fence around his servant. And Satan could do nothing against Job unless God gave him permission to do so. And that was all to strengthen Job and to teach him some important lessons. But in the same way, God has put this hedge of protection around us as well. And the Bible says over and over again that God keeps us. The Lord is faithful, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Or in verse 24 of the book of Jude, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Or Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 5. He says that God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. By God's power, we are kept, we are safe, we are preserved. Now you think about that. You don't lose someone that you love, do you? Don't do that. Imagine you go to Disney World, you take your kids to Disney World, and you stay for a week-long trip to Disney World. And you've been to Disney World. So you stay for a week and you get back, and a few days later, your wife says to you, hey, have you seen the middle child? No, you know, the last time I saw her was a few days before we left Disney World. She was at the castle last I saw. Of course not. You're not going to do that with those you love, right? A parent is going to know constantly where their children are. In the same way, because God loves us and He blesses us, well, He knows our whereabouts as well. He keeps us. Now, having said that, and I read Jude verse 24, I'm aware that verse 21 of the book of Jude says to keep yourself in the love of God. And so there's a responsibility that we have to keep ourselves within the hedge or within that fence that God has built around us. We have the choice whether or not we will keep ourselves in the love of God. And what that means is you keep yourself in a place where God can bless you. Because we're aware that there are certain activities, certain things, certain people that can make it easy for the devil to tempt us and for us to sin. And so for the Lord to really keep us, we must want to be kept. We must make the choice to stay close to Him. But God never forgets what He loves. And He loves you. And He has heavily invested so much into our salvation, He's not going to let us go. He's going to protect His investment. And so just realizing that God blesses us, this self-contained blessing, regardless of the circumstances that we face in our life, and that God is keeping us, He's protecting us. But then the next thing the text says in verse 25, in Numbers chapter 6 at verse 25, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. That's a beautiful phrase. We might think, well, what exactly does that mean? But really means to smile at someone. And I think that is a good daily reminder that God smiles upon us. There might be, once again, some who have this image of God that just kind of see Him as this perpetual state of anger. That He's always just having a bad day. And when it comes to approaching God, you got to walk on eggshells because you never know just how He might react. And if we do one thing, well, bam, He might just end it for us right there. Of course, that's not the biblical image that we see of God. When He looks at His children, He smiles. You might say, well, I grasp that. I understand that that's what the text says, but I think God's disappointed in me, or that God is disillusioned with me. And to that, I would say, no, He's not, because He's never had any illusions about you to begin with. God is well aware of our shortcomings. I think about the time in Luke chapter 21. I don't have it on the screen. In Luke chapter 21, I think about this conversation that He had with Simon Peter in Luke chapter 22 at verse 31. Luke chapter 22 at verse 31. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to Him, Lord, I am ready to go with you to both to prison and to death. Jesus understood, and He said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times, or until you deny three times that you know me. You see, Jesus predicted the denial of Peter. Jesus wasn't disillusioned with Peter when He denied Peter. He was well aware of Peter's sin. God knows us. We could turn to Psalm 119 and see where the psalmist says, you know my thoughts from afar. Or in other words, you know my thoughts before I even think it. You know where I'm going before I get there. You know where I rise up. You know where I put my head on the pillow, basically, is what that text says. You know everything about me. And it's as terrifying as that might sound, God knows everything about us, and He smiles on us. I mean, think about your children. About your children when they walk in the room. Or maybe I should, during this time of quarantine, say, think about your grandchildren. Think about your grandchildren or your children. They walk into the room and your face lights up with joy, doesn't it? That's your child, or that's your grandchild. And to just see them makes you smile. And I think that's something that we need to understand about as we approach God. We think, I'm going to approach God today and I'm going to cast my cares upon Him, but I know that He is smiling on me. And I know that I am His child. I know that He loves to bless me. I know that He is faithfully keeping me. And I know He is smiling right now on me. And that leads me to the next thought. Is what we see in number 6 in that great blessing, is that God is gracious to us. The Lord, it says, makes His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Once again, this is why I said we need this fresh reminder today. I need this reminder. We need this reminder right here that God wants us to be reminded of this, that He is gracious towards us. Now, once again, maybe that's one of those words we use a lot, but we need to understand exactly what it means. We might define grace as God's unmerited favor. And that's true. That's a great way of defining that. But let's maybe just compare a little bit to some other words like justice or mercy. Justice is getting what you deserve. That's what justice is. Mercy, on the other hand, is not getting what you deserve. Grace, on the other hand, is getting what you don't deserve. That's what grace is. And I've heard it explained maybe this way. This is a good way of illustrating this. I'll just say that, Gavin, let's say I bought a brand new truck. It's out in the parking lot. I didn't, but I bought a brand new Ford F-150. And Gavin says, I've always wanted to drive one of these Fords. Would you mind letting me drive it? I say, no, no problem, Gavin. I give Gavin the keys, and he turns out here onto Columbiana, and he gets down the hill, and he runs off the road. He's looking at his cell phone. You wouldn't do that. He's looking at his cell phone. He runs off the road, and he totals my brand new truck. Now, justice would be I would go to Gavin and say, you owe me a brand new truck. Or mercy would be, yeah, Gavin, don't worry about it. It's just a truck. Grace would be, hey, Gavin, let's get in the car. We'll go to the Ford dealership, and I'm going to buy you a Ford truck. That's hard to grasp, isn't it? You see why we never say to the Lord, Lord, give me justice. Don't say that to the Lord. We say, give me your mercy and give me your grace. That's what we need from the Lord. Give your grace to me today. It is by God's grace that we have been saved. Ephesians chapter 2. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is all God's doing. This is all God's doing. He says this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You think about it. We deserve hell, but through the sacrifice of Jesus, we gain heaven. We deserve punishment, we get reward. We deserve wrath, but through Jesus, once again, we get love. The Lord blesses us. The Lord keeps us. He smiles on us. He is gracious to us. And then next, He is attentive to us. That's what it says in verse 26 of Numbers chapter 6. I want you to notice what that says. In Numbers chapter 6 at verse 26, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. In other words, He looks upon you. He sees you. He knows you. He's interested in you. He gives you His full attention. Daniel read Psalm 40 at verse 1 that jumped out at me this morning. He inclined to me and heard my cry. You ever been having a conversation with someone and you just get the sense that they're not paying any attention to you? And maybe worse yet, you're having a discussion with someone and you really needed to talk to someone. You really needed to get this off your chest. You needed their advice. You were talking to them about something important and you're mid conversation. You say, well, this is really what I want. This is really what I want to tell you. And they go, oh, hold on a second. And they get on the phone and they say, oh, no, I'm not doing anything. What can I do for you? And you're just standing here. They're not paying any attention to what you're saying. But you think about the Lord. We have His full attention. We as humans struggle with that. Charlotte and Olivia sometimes will say, Dad, look. And I'm probably busy or doing something. I say, yeah, I see. And they say, no, look with your eyes, Dad. Look with your eyes. The Lord looks at us with His eyes. We have His full attention. And you might say, well, I don't know about that. What I'm going through right now, I feel as if God isn't paying any attention to me at all. Well, think about Joseph. Think about Joseph as he's thrown into this Egyptian prison. He's sold as a slave. He's thrown into prison, falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit. I mean, how easily for young Joseph to feel as if God didn't care, if God wasn't paying any attention to him. But the fact of the matter is that God was with him every step of the way. And God was using those difficulties that Joseph was facing in order to grow him and to mature him into the man that God wanted him to be. Maybe just because you're going through a hardship doesn't mean that God has forgotten about you. It could mean that you're just learning some lessons right now that will help you in the years and days to come. But then finally, I want us to see that God gives us peace. God gives us peace. When you just consider all of these things, you take these five things that I mentioned and you get to this point, that the Lord blesses us. He keeps us. He smiles on us. We have His full attention. The very thought of that should give us peace, shouldn't it? I think that's how Paul could write this in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand, and He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. These were the words of a man who knew that God was in control. That's why we see in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, when Paul and Silas are thrown in prison, they're singing hymns. Why? Because they had a peace that passed all understanding. They knew that God loved them, that God smiled on them, that God blessed them, and that He would keep them. And you might say, well, wait a second. They could have been executed right there. And they could have been. But there was a peace that Paul and Silas had, because if they were executed, they were blessed. Paul said, my desire is to depart and be with the Lord. That was peace. They were spared. What happened? They were blessed. They were at peace because they knew that God still wanted them to serve Him. It really all comes down to live as Christ and to die is gain. The Lord will keep us. And then when our time is over, we go home with Him. One final thing I think we see from verse 27. He says at the end of this blessing, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I love this because God is saying to the priests, to these spiritual leaders, you know, as you have this oversight over these people, remember to pronounce this blessing. And you remember that I will live up to this promise. You don't have to make excuses for me. You don't have to be afraid that I won't show up. I am going to fulfill what I have said. And so you tell them and you remind them every day that I love them. I will bless them. I smile upon them. I will keep them. I will be gracious to them. I will be attentive to them. And I will give them peace. And keep in mind that these promises that I'm mentioning this morning are for the child of God. These blessings are available for everyone who trusts and obeys Christ. Remember Galatians chapter 3 at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. You think about that. Jesus was crucified so that I could be forgiven. And if you want these blessings, the choice is yours. You have that choice. We'll go back and close with Deuteronomy 30. I read this earlier. Now look at this one more time. And just notice what it says. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. There's the choice. There's the test. You got to pick. You got to pick one. And I love it. God's like the great teacher who says, let me give you the right answer. Here's the right answer. He says, choose life that you and your offspring might live. I think this challenge is before each and every one of us here this morning. Here is your choice, life or death, blessing or cursing. God says you make the right choice and choose life. Choose the blessing of God in your life. And it could be this morning that you need to make the choice to live for the Lord. You might need to make the choice to serve Him, to trust and obey Him by putting Christ on the waters of baptism. And you have that opportunity to do that this morning. And if we can help you in any way in your spiritual life, please let us know so that we can all help one another grow closer to the Lord. Let's think about those things. If we can help you, let us know while Gavin leads us in our song.